Offside. Francoski pomorski janičari. Da britanske oblasti pri preprečevanju odhodov migrantov z severa Francije proti Veliki Britaniji sodelujejo s francoskimi, že vemo. Vlada Združenega kraljestva je na severu Francije, v bližini Calaisa, lastno mejno kontrolo vzpostavila na začetku 90-ih let. Skupna preiskava štirih medijev, nizozemskega Lighthouse Reportsa, francoskega Le Monda, britanskega The Observerja in nemškega Der Spiegla, je zdaj razkrila, da francoska pomorska policija prehode migrantov v gumijastih čovnih čez Rokanskih preliv aktivno preprečuje. Mediji so preverili in objavili dva videoposnetka, ki dokazujeta po mednarodnem pravu nelegalno delovanje francoske policije. Prvi prikazuje francoski patruljni čovn, ki kroži okoli gumenjaka s 25 ljudmi, z ustvarjanjem valov pa čovn potopi. Ta patruljni čovn so po trditvah virov štirih medijev francoske oblasti kupile z denarjem, ki so jim ga po sporazumu o kontroli meje iz leta 2018 namenile britanske oblasti. Drugi posnetek prikazuje francoske policiste, ki z hidrogliserja grozijo ljudem na gumenjaku, da bodo uporabili solzivec. Na to se s hidrogliserjem v gumenjak zaletijo.
Ne bi bilo ugodno, da nam se uvale na brod in da se...
Poleg dveh posnetkov, ki prikazujeta primera pullbackov, torej vlečenja ljudi z morja nazaj na francosko ozemlje, so mediji v preiskavi prišli do pritožbe francoskega pomorskega carinika. Javnemu tožilcu se je uradno pritožil s trditvijo, da so lanskega avgusta humanitarni nevladni organizaciji Nacionalna družba morskih reševalcev policisti ukazali naj preluknja gumenjak, ki je že bil sredi morja. Nevladniki so to zavrnili. Francoske oblasti so doslej ustrajale, da migrantov na morju ne prestrezajo kljub zahtevam britanske vlade, saj bi to kršilo mednarodno pomorsko pravo. Nova razkritja so francoske oblasti postavile na laž, pove Thomas Statius, novinar Lighthouse Reportsa, ki je pri preiskavi sodeloval.
These footages essentially contradict the official version given by the French state for actually a couple of years, saying that when the boat, the asylum seekers boat are on the sea, it is only about rescue operation. There is no police intervention. And those videos and those footages prove that actually they have been lying.
Od kdaj točno francoske oblasti izvajajo pullbacke, sogovornik ne ve, kredibilna pričevanja pa so prejeli pred pol leta.
We've heard the first very credible testimonies and source of information and proof actually 6 months ago, essentially, that we received one of the footages, and that was the beginning of the investigation, essentially. We've been working on that for 6 months, and for the past 6 months, yeah, we knew that stuff like that have been happening in the channel.
Sodelovanje pri preprečevanju migracij na otok med britanskimi in francoskimi oblastmi je znano vsaj od 90-ih let, a večino obdobja je šlo za sodelovanje na kopnem in sicer pri preprečevanju migracij prek predora pod Rokavskim prelivom, ki so ga otvorili leta 1994.
Starting in the mid-90s, the British, after a series of treaties, the first one was called the Touquet Treaties. Touquet is a city in the north of France. The British installed essentially the border on the French side and decided it was the French duty essentially to police the border. And since then, it was the first, let's say, waves of refugees coming to the north of France. There has been a constant presence of asylum seekers in the north of France. What happened as related to the investigation that we released with Le Monde, Lighthouse Report, The Observer and Der Spiegel, is starting 2018, 2019, people moved from trying to cross in trucks and on the boats that go from Calais to Dover to try to cross by what we call small boats, so semi-inflatable boats that goes from essentially all the north coast of France to UK. And that new phenomena put the police at a difficulty, because essentially in the French law and the French analysis, let's say, of the maritime law, was to say that when you have a small boat on the water, it's not a law enforcement cases anymore. It is a rescue operation. So you cannot do anything to forbid people to leave the shore when they are on the water. You can of course intervene on the beaches, and you have a lot of videos and a lot of proof of those aggressive tactics on the beaches, including police using like tear gas, using like grenade, you know, grenade that you use in demonstration. Of course, not lethal grenade, but stuff to essentially make people not cross. And these tactics include also puncturing and destroying the boats before people board. But what we saw was an increase in those tactics in the recent years, and especially on the water.
Kot pojasni Jaša Makaniko iz britanske nevladne organizacije Statewatch, se je število prehodov v gumenjakih čez preliv povečalo po Brexitu. Zato sam sumi, da je Francija migrante uporabila kot orodje za izsiljevanje britanskih oblasti.
A bit suspicious that following Brexit was the moment when small boat crossings kind of increased considerably. So it could be had been less attention paid to this phenomenon by the French authorities in that period. If that was the case, it would reflect what third countries have been doing with the EU, where they are able to extract value out of migrant crossings.
Za tesnejše sodelovanje pri preprečevanju migracij prek morja sta se francoski predsednik Emmanuel Macron in britanski premier Rishi Sunak na to dogovorila lanskega marca. Takoj zatem so francoske pomorske oblasti policiji izdale navodilo, naj začne prestrezati migrantske gumenjake, pove Statius.
One of the pieces of information we got is a confidential document, which is a note written by the sea authority, allowing essentially the police to intercept small boats when there are less than three people on board. And this exact like new note was signed after a diplomatic meeting between Rishi Sunak, the British Prime Minister, and the French President Emmanuel Macron. So there is also a lot of connection with, let's say, the growing pressure from the British authority on the French authority. And it has been a long impression that's been put by the British and the French for a long, long time.
Na srečanju pred letom dni je Sunak Macronu tudi obljubil izplačilo skoraj 600 milijonov evrov v roku 3 let. Zakaj je denar namenjen, opiše Makaniko.
Provision of additional border guards, detention facility which was meant to operate in the Calais region, video surveillance cameras, drones, and night vision binoculars. So it was a matter of very concrete money which was meant to be spent on equipment, on border guards, on an intensification of surveillance.
Pred dogovorom so francoski policisti skušali odhode z lastnega ozemlja preprečevati na kopnem. Migrante so zalotili medtem, ko so se ti pripravljali na odhod z gumenjaki. To pa je za policiste postalo težje, odkar migranti uporabljajo vnaprej pripravljene čovne, ne da bi jim jih bilo treba na obalah napolniti zrakom.
One of the new developments in the channel is the use of so-called taxi boats. So asylum seekers do not gather on the beach anymore to essentially inflate the boat and then go on the beaches. They use small taxi boats that go from further south the coast and pick people up on the beaches, essentially. And it puts the police tactics at risk, because essentially, since you're not able to intervene on the sea, and in this occasion you cannot intercept people before, it meant a lot of boats were able to go to the UK. And so we think that the police actually was under a lot of pressure to deliver, because there was so much money coming to them. And that's why essentially probably maybe those tactics happened.
Novost, za katero smo izvedeli, je torej v tem, da francoske oblasti migrante prestrezajo, ko so že na morju. Doslej smo vedeli samo, da se francoske in tudi britanske oblasti izogibajo reševanju migrantov iz morja, ne pa, da njihove čovne tudi potapljajo, strne Makaniko.
There had been a precedent where there had been a case in which both the French and the British authorities had kind of tried to delay rescue up to the last moment, hoping that they would end up in the different countries' area. And this reflects very much what has been happening in the Mediterranean in terms of avoidance of rescues or trying to find an excuse not to rescue, because, of course, a rescue means taking people to ground as quickly as possible in a safe port in your country or somewhere where their asylum rights will be respected. Now, this is really troubling because it seems to be this effort to subordinate search and rescue duties and the humanitarian needs of people and the law of the sea to policing irregular migration. And so there had been evidence before in one case of a ship, of a past shipwreck, of authorities not wanting to intervene, which again mirrors what's been happening in the Mediterranean in terms of the downscaling of European rescue capabilities, or at least their withdrawal, or their taking them further away from the African coasts in order to give third countries the possibility to intervene. Now, what would be ironic if it wasn't tragic in these cases in which vessels are being put in danger by the intervention of security bodies is that there is this pressure from the country of arrival, in this case the UK, which pays money in order for the authorities in the country which people leave not to actually do their job, rather to make sure that by any means necessary, the people do not arrive.
Makaniko v praksah, ki so jih razkrili štirje mediji, vidi nadaljevanje praks na Sredozemskem morju. Le da na Mediteranu članice Evropske unije sklenejo dogovore o preprečevanju odhodov z državami, ki niso članice, kot je Libija. V primeru Francije pa članica unije preprečuje odhode v Združeno kraljestvo, ki ni članica.
We've seen a lot of things at State Watch in policy documents about the idea of using drones, swarms of drones to impede crossings, etc., which have not happened yet. But this kind of maneuvers shows that these disturbing tactics, which also could lead to loss of life, because if you're circling a boat, a small vessel, if you're making water enter it by creating waves, if you're even piercing them, that's the most troubling development. It's likely that some loss of life or injury is going to happen. So this is completely in continuity with what has been happening in the Mediterranean, where sea rescue and maritime security has kind of been subordinated to efforts not to allow people to make their journey. And in this case, it's particularly interesting to see that, A, there's been Frontex cooperation recently. There's been a recently signed agreement with the UK. And B, that you have one of the richest countries in the world, which is France, which is kind of following the blueprint which has been set by authorities in Libya.
Tudi situacija na severu Francije se je od Brexita spremenila. Leta 2016 je policija uničila veliko migrantsko taborišče v bližini Kaleja, znano kot džungla. Taktika francoske policije je usmerjena v preprečevanje stalne namestitve migrantov na enem mestu.
People are still gathered in small informal camps around all the north of France. I don't think you're close to figures that were the one during the jungle, where I think in 2015, at the very end, we were close to 10,000 inhabitants in this jungle, so-called jungle. But what happened, and it's been documented by journalists and activists for a long time, is essentially all the camps are dismantled every other day. That's what the police is doing, essentially. And it's a clear policy that's been created by the Ministry of Interior in France, and it's called the no fixation policy. The goal is for people to be constantly on the move, not having another, you know, slum created in the north of France. So that's the situation now. But essentially, it doesn't, you know, discourage people from coming in the north, because there's a geographical fact. From Calais to Dover, this is the smallest part of land you can have, you know, in the Channel, in the North Sea. So there are still refugee and asylum seekers gathering in the north of France, waiting essentially to cross. So that's still the situation, and it has been for the past month and the past years. Of course, it's not close to what the jungle was, which was 10,000 inhabitants on a piece of land, but the camp are actually more spread out now around the region.
Francoske oblasti so pri tem šle tako daleč, da aktivno posegajo v pokrajino in izsekavajo gozd, da migranti v njem ne bi imeli zatočišča, pravi Statius.
All these tactics by the police and by the Ministry of Interior in France has actually changed even like the geography of the region. For instance, beforehand, like the refugees were gathered in small forests, let's say, near Dunkirk, near Grandson. Grandson is a city close to Dunkirk where you have the most camps. And now, essentially, the police have cut all the trees, essentially, for the police to make intervention more easier, you know. So there's a whole history, let's say, of geography and the geographical change that were provoked by those law enforcement tactics against irregular migration.
Nelegalnih praks francoske in britanske oblasti po razkritjih ne nameravajo končati. Ko so novinarji z dokazi soočili severno-francosko prefekturo, je ta ravnanje policije potrdila in sporočila, da je namen policijskega potapljanja gumenjakov odvrniti potnike od odprtega morja. Britansko notranje ministrstvo je odgovorilo, da bo še naprej gradilo na uspehih, ki so število prihodov migrantov zmanjšali. Offside je pripravil Martin.
Kako bi izvenil program Radija Študent, če bi direktor postal Andrej Klasinc?
V svetu kapitala bi dejali, da imamo glavno besedo, mi v svetu zavoda nimamo besede in jaz sem samo nemi opazovalec že 8 let. Mislim, da ste vi zreli, da greste v neko preoblikovanje.
Meni se zdi, da ni vmešanje v uredniško politiko, če sem pogledal, kakšna glasba se prodaja, ali da bi šli malo komercializacijo, v smislu, da se dvoje reklame spusti skozi.
Ajde, gremo, leva, muzika!
Te zanima, kakšne dogodke izvajamo? Kulturne, izobraževalne, dobrodelne?
Pa, mafijski, piknik na kampusu.
Neka pijanka, demo ga, ne glejmo ga.
In veliko, veliko veselja in pa razigranosti v samem rimskem kampu Bedovijo.
Gutri spirit. In dejstvo je, da oni niso samo alkoholni distributer, ampak lahko ponudijo mnogo več stvari.
V studiu je že prvi gost, to je Tilen Vodeb Žmavc, ki je vodja resorja za obštudijske dejavnosti na študentski organizaciji Univerze v Ljubljani.
Najlepša hvala za povabilo. Veseli me, no, da ste nekako opazili naše dobro delo na naši organizaciji.
Vi ste trdna ladja, ampak dajmo še, da je tudi krmilo trdno in da se nekako najdemo na isti frekvenci 89,3 in gremo naprej.
Radio Študent.